Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be back together again, connected virtually. I just want to give a shout out to all those who are living in different states that are connecting to Ebenezer family. And I just want to thank you. Thank you so much. And I pray that you're being encouraged in your journey. I've been hearing about people going on vacations and being able to pull us up on the app and or ebcnc.com and have family devotions and services far and near. So I'm excited. Shout out to Mobile, Alabama. We've got some viewers that are out there, and the Lord has truly, truly blessed us as a church. I want to remind you to continue to stay connected via our app. We have notifications that come up to let you know our upcoming services. We have our Monday Bible studies and special events. Also, we have our Tuesday noonday Bible studies. We have our Wednesday 7 p.m. Bible study where we're going through the Bible book by book. So the Lord is just doing so many things. Of course, we've got our 8:45 in-person service and our 10 o'clock online service and our 10:45 in-person service. So we're getting the word out, and it's all by God's grace and mercy. And that's what we're going to talk about today in the message as we get back to going through the movements of the Holy Spirit. Well, I just want you to pray with me, and I want to pray with you as we just lift up our lives in this world. So many things are going on. They're happening so quickly. And I really believe the Lord is preparing His church, getting us focused in to realize that He's coming back soon. And more souls need to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of Him. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the things that you've given the church, technology to reach out, Lord, that your word can be near and far. Father, I'm just amazed at how you are moving in a powerful way. Now, Lord, I just pray for the saints today, those who may be going through bereaved families, those who are troubled in heart, mind, or spirit. God, would you encourage them by this word, by this service today, that they'll know that you are God that will never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, I just thank you that you've been a wonderful provider. I pray blessings over those that have given into this ministry, Lord, whether it be through the ebcnc.com or the app, Lord, or sending it into our mailbox. Lord, I just thank you for that. But Lord, I also pray for those who have given in other ways, who have reached out and called others and text, Lord, and met with others and encouraged others and embraced. There are so many ways, Lord, that you've used us. So we just give you praise for that. Now, Father, as we go into this service, we just lift you up. You be magnified. You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and faithful comes from you.
Yes.
You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. When I've lost my directions, you're the compass of my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are my laughter, the shadows of all my fears. I'm nervous when I'm all alone. Your hand is there to hold. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and faithful comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You are why I find pleasure in the simple things of life. You're the music in the meadows and the streams, the voices of the children, my family and my home. You're the source and finishes of my highest dreams. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. And Jesus is the center of my joy.
I'm just so glad to be saved and to have Christ in my life. And I know that you are also. He has been so, so, so good to us. Well, we've been on this journey, and I was just thinking as I was studying and going through the scriptures, just how good God has been by giving us his Holy Spirit. He's introduced to us in that Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that was in them. And that whole process, when you think about all the creation that he's done. And then that verse 2, it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So all of that, and you know, we quote that a lot, thinking about, you know, God's creation and what he's done. But I really want us to lean strongly into the fact that the Holy Spirit is that changing process. God has given us the Holy Spirit via Jesus Christ and his power. And that's what we're going to deal with even more today. So I want you to focus in with me on this portion of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to do two parts of this. We're going to go through this entire chapter today, the first part, and then on next Sunday, we'll get into that second part of the chapter. But here again, the Holy Spirit just reveals himself in an amazing way through the life of the Apostle Paul. So before we go any further, just want to pray and just welcome God's Spirit. Father, thank you so much. You're amazing. You are amazing. You are awesome. And so we welcome you here, Lord. I pray for those who are looking in that they be lifted up, Lord, that you speak into their lives. Lord, if there is someone out there that's viewing, listening in that doesn't know you, I pray that today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, we're speaking on you. So would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed unto be like you? Lord, thank you. Fall fresh upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at this 1 Corinthians 2:4. Paul brings this out as the Spirit is really moving strongly in him. He says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." I'm going to read that again. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We want to speak from a title today, Spirit-Led Power. Spirit-Led Power. The time frame as we go into this section of the Corinthians is about 56 AD. Paul the Apostle has really groomed this fledgling church, and it's grown into a super church in a sense. The gifts of the Spirit are flowing. But even in the gifts of the Spirit flowing in this church, they had a lot of issues, a lot of struggle. There were a lot of people that were getting the big head because God was moving in their lives, and Paul had to bring them back on the same page. Some didn't even like Paul the Apostle because he didn't fit their picture of what a leader should be. His background, I mean, he had studied extensively, Pharisee of a Pharisee, he called himself. But his body, he had gone through some things. He had gone through some transformations that we're going to deal with in just a little bit in the scriptures. And so some of them began to look down on Paul the Apostle. And even in his speech, they didn't like the way he talked, some of them. And so Paul the Apostle had to deal with all of these adversities that were coming against him as the Spirit rises up and speaks in a wonderful way. Let's go ahead and jump into this chapter, 1 Corinthians 2:1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, Paul says, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Read that again. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Here's our first point. No smoke and mirrors. No smoke and mirrors. We have to be careful in this season and time with our technological advancements and the things that we can do with cameras and smokes and mirrors, that we don't strive to bring in magical tricks into the sanctuary, even as we're connecting on the internet. And when I say that, there can be a tendency sometime to not lean on the Holy Spirit and His power being led of Him, and we want to produce some kind of atmosphere. I've been in some churches at times, and music will come up, and it'll be the right chords, and you'll kind of sense that. And I've seen smoke come out the edges, and all of a sudden you will think that God is there. And sometimes God is there, but a lot of times I've seen it's just man produced, and I've been concerned about that when we lean more on the emotional display that we're bringing these things out. And here we find out the scriptures in that 1 Corinthians 2:1. I want to focus on that second part. Paul says, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom. This is so important. Paul says, I wasn't leaning on all of my learning. I wasn't leaning on, you know, how I put things together, how the flow of it was, but what I was leaning on is the Holy Spirit, and for him to speak even in my struggles, even in my problems, even in my weaknesses. Zechariah 4:6 brings this out, that it always has to be about the word of God. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In our lives, we have to really focus on that it's by God's Spirit. Yes, thank God for educational advancements. Thank God for speech classes and other things, and that we can read well. I was talking to my family the other day, and we look at movies with subtitles, and I realized that that's even a blessing to be able to do that, because some people can't read subtitles as quick to be able to keep up with the movie, and so many things we take for granted that God has allowed us abilities to do. But please understand, even with reading well, even with being able to put words and conjugate things together, if we don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, if we don't have Spirit-led power, it really amounts to nothing. There ought to be some hallelujahs out there. I don't care where you come from. If you went to an Ivy League school or no school at all, please note there is no excuse. When you get close to God and you understand what the Holy Spirit can do and will do in us, nothing is impossible to those who believe and trust in the movement of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:2, Spirit-led power. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Here's another point, a little longer, but I really want you to get the thought of this scripture. Jesus Christ opens the door to the power of the Spirit. Jesus Christ opens the door to the power of the Spirit. It is so sad as I think about the churches of today and this season, that so many are turning away from the cross. They're turning away from the thought of Jesus. And to be honest, you know, I always strive to end on the cross and what Jesus has done. But the cross is gruesome. It's not exciting per se when you think about nails in his hand and the blood and all the troubles that he went through, but we encapsulate in that he went through it for us. And that message of the cross, it opens up the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why in order to even be a believer, you have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit comes in. He is that bridge. He is that leadership power that's within us. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 19th verse, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Spirit-led power. Looking at that scripture, very important, because that the cross, that's the Christ crucified and died and resurrected. That is the message. That's what separates us. There's so many religions, but for Jesus Christ to die on that cross and to be put in a cold tomb and get up on the third day, man, with all power and glory, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. I'm talking about Spirit-led power. He goes on to explain in that first chapter of Corinthians, that 23rd verse, he says, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Spirit-led power. It is amazing. It is amazing when you grasp what the cross, what Christ has done on the cross for us, everything changes. You see it on Resurrection Day. People put up crosses and they put flowers coming off of that, because that cross was a symbol. Again, it was gruesome. It was a horrific way to die. But to think what Christ did for the cross, man, he made it into a jewel for us. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because of the foolishnesses of God is wiser than men, and the weaknesses of God is stronger than men. When Jesus died and was resurrected to those who choose to believe, everything changed. We start to understand what Spirit-led power is all about, that within ourselves we fail every time, but when we lean to God and allow his Spirit to grow in us, I'm telling you, all of a sudden we're able to do some things we thought we'd never do. We're able to go through some doors that we thought would never be opened. There ought to be some hallelujah, because when you look back over your life, I'm talking to the believers now, and we see what God has done for us, when we see how God has done amazing things in our lives, we can't help but get excited about his goodness and his grace. Spirit-led power. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:3. I was with you in weakness, Paul says, in fear and in much trembling. Here's a powerful point, and I want you to get this. When we are weak, then we are strong. That sounds familiar. When we are weak, then we are strong. Paul the apostle understood this. And even on the Damascus Road, when Saul/Paul, when he's converted, he's changed. God told him, Jesus Christ told him, he said, you're going to have to suffer many things for me. Because before that Damascus Road experience and his experience with Jesus Christ, he was very pompous. He was caught up in himself and his education. But God has a way of breaking us down that we can realize that it was never about us anyway. Paul did not depend on his own strength at this point. In 2 Corinthians, we get another picture of him that often is not talked about. 2 Corinthians 10:10, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Theologians have struggled with this, and they look at his life and they believe that Paul had some issues that were going on. Thorn in the flesh and some struggle, some bodily issues. Think about it. He was stoned. He was left for dead, shipwreck, all of these things. It worked on his body. It broke down his demeanor, and even his speech wasn't as eloquent as the Greeks and their philosophy. He held to the cross of Calvary and Jesus Christ. But Paul also embraced this fact. Even though they looked down on him and he wasn't as esteemed as others that were there, he says this in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house, hallelujah, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. Any hallelujahs out there? Paul said, you know what? I'm getting older, and I'm realizing how important it is to stay connected with God and His Holy Spirit. But I realize that this outward vessel, this tabernacle, it's breaking down. This physical body that we have that encompasses the Spirit of God, it's breaking down. But He says, when it breaks down, we have a building of God that's not made by hand. But it's so true to know that also as we were dealing with this in our lives. Spirit-led power, 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Somebody say, the power of God, the power of God, Spirit-led power. We must understand that when we come to the point of really submitting to who God is, God can do some wonderful things on the inside. I've seen, I know many of you, and I've seen God do some wonderful and amazing things, and we understand that it was not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 explains even more. You ever been here? We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. I often bring in a Weeble Wobble. If you don't know the Weeble Wobble, I should have brought it today. It didn't have it. But a Weeble Wobble was this oblong thing that's shaped, and it has a little face on it, and it's weighted at the bottom. And the amazing thing about Weeble Wobble, you can knock it down, but it always comes back up. You can knock it down, but it always comes back up. And that's what our existence is with the Holy Spirit on the inside. We go through, and we're struck down, but we fall down, but we get up. And that's so good to know that we've got the Holy Spirit power on the inside of us, driving us. After dealing with that thorn in the flesh, Paul the apostle learned to say, you know what, God, it is all about you. It is all about you. 2 Corinthians 12:8 explains this concerning this thing. Paul said, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm telling you to think about this. Paul comes to the point and says, you know what? The Spirit-led power is more important than our physical power. Hallelujah. That, because some of you are going through, and some of you got some struggles, and some of you had some bad diagnosis, but I want you to know what is more important is God's presence on the inside. God would rather have your body weak and you lean stronger on Him than your body be strong and you lean stronger on yourself. Any amens out there? He would rather you come to the point of understanding that it's all about Him and really not all about you. Yes. Does He want us healthy? Yes. Does He want us to prosper? Yes. We see that in the scriptures, but please understand God's ways are not our ways. And if it comes to a point of allowing us to be weak in the physical sense so that we can understand the power and the glory of God. And Paul says in this, he says, I would rather boast in my infirmities or weakness. There ought to be some hallelujahs. How many times have you seen somebody say, you know what? I'm going to shout because I got a pain right now. I'm going to shout because I've got some other infirmities that are going on in my life. That's Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle said, I found out that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There ought to be a strong hallelujah out there saying, God, thank you that even when I'm down, even when I'm weak, and even when I'm struggling, I am strong because I've got the Spirit-led power that's working in me. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration, here it is, of the Spirit and of power. Here's another point. The real deal. The real deal. Being in the church all my life, I'm telling you, I've heard the best speakers ever. I am telling you, been around the world and speech, and not just preachers. I've heard just great spokespeople that could really just flow and use wonderful words and vivid pictures and examples. And I'm telling you, mind-boggling speech people. But please understand, without the Spirit of God leading them, it's just a good speech. It's just a good presentation.
presentation. But when we're connected in with God, something good or something that man says is good, God can make it extraordinary. Have you ever been somewhere where you were in a service and God began to speak through someone, and all of a sudden their speech may not have been perfect? They may have had issues within themselves, but when God's presence came into the room, when God's presence was shown, all of a sudden it got on a deeper level within your life. That's what the Spirit-led power, it is the real deal. And Paul the Apostle said, that's what I want. I'm not caught up in all this other stuff, in the smoke and mirrors. I'm not caught up in all these other tricks that people are doing, but I want people to hear God's word. I want people to embrace God's word. I want them to know that there is no other way but Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life. I want to lift him up higher than I am. When he is lifted up, that's when people are saved. When he is lifted up, that's when people are delivered. When he is lifted up, that's when people are healed. I'm talking about Spirit-led power. Theologian Henson, he writes of this scripture and explains it in a wonderful way. Listen to this. With a deep sense of his own insufficiency, Paul carried on a ministry characterized by modesty and humility. Paul was determined, as John the Baptist, that he must increase, but I must decrease. Instead, his ministry demonstrated the Spirit and power. Somebody say Spirit and power. Obviously, the power was not in respect to any human agency, but the power of divine wisdom. We must be careful not to lean on our own strength, our own education, as said before. We must stay close to the leadership of the Spirit every day, not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I know you may be on your job, and maybe you're a supervisor, or maybe you're just a blue collar worker. Please understand, it does not matter the state that you're in. You still need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You still need to be led by him so the Spirit-led power can come forth. God wants to use you wherever you are and whatever situation you're in. Let me get this final verse of the day, 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I love this final point. Have faith in God. Yes, have faith in God. I just want to sum up everything that we've talked about today. No matter how mesmerizing the speaker may be, no matter what they look like, you may say, man, they are all together. They got it all together. No matter that, please understand, every one of us have fallen short of the kingdom of heaven. Yes, all of us have fallen down when it comes to God's standards. But aren't you glad via the Holy Spirit, God can still use the believers? And even in our body, it doesn't matter how strong you are today. All of us have an appointment with death. All of us, our bodies are breaking down from the young to the old. So we need to understand what's everlasting, that it's all about God. It's all about what happened on that cross of Calvary, Jesus hanging there, nails in his hands and nails in his feet, carrying all of our sins and our griefs on that cross of Calvary, dying for us, but yet getting up on the third day with all power and glory, coming out of that tomb for us. I'm telling, so that we could have Spirit-led power. Please, saints, and I pray that we not take for granted God's Holy Spirit that he's put on the inside of us. As I was studying this, and a song came up to my heart, and this really summarizes the Spirit-led power in our lives that God wants us to walk in day in and day out. It's by Michael Ketterer. It says this, listen to this. This is my worship. This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it. Hallelujah. It felt like a burden, but once I could grasp it, you took me further than I was asking. And simply to see you is worth it all. My life is an altar. Let your fire fall. When all hope is gone and your word is all I've got, I have to believe you still bring water from the rock to satisfy my thirst, to love me at my worst. And even when I don't remember, you remind me of my worth. I don't trust my ways, any amens. I'm trading in my faults. I lay down everything because you're all that I want. I've landed on my knees. This is the cup You have me. And even when it don't make sense, I'm going to let your spirit lead. But I love this part because this really encompasses us to be able to live in the spirit-led power. I said, if you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. I don't want to follow my own ways. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me. Oh, Spirit, lead me. Spirit-led power, saints. That's what God wants in us. And I pray that we make that transition to get out of ourselves and to get more in Him. If you don't know Him today, man, let today be your day. That you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And the scriptures say that you will be saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. For the saints today, man, I pray for you that you be encouraged to grow more in Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your spirit-led power. Forgive us for so often messing up, Lord, leaning to our own strength and our own authority and the things that we produced in our lives. But Lord, help us to never forget if it had not been for you on our side. Lord, I pray today that your saints be lifted up, edified, encouraged. I pray today that souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on your church. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sometimes I think about the things you have done for me. How you washed away all my sins, set my spirit free. Well, when I look back on my life, I haven't always been right. Goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. Hallelujah. I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. Are you shining down your blessing? Your blessing. Thank you.
Lord. I pray that you are blessed today. Just thinking about God desiring and wanting to use us, even with all our faults, even with all our issues, man, it should drive you to a higher level in Him. So as you go through this week, I want you to hold on to the Spirit of God so strong. I want you to get into the Word more than you ever been. I want you to pray more and say, God, lead me. And even in those weak times when you feel like you can't take another step, say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And go ahead and give God your best praise in the midst of that infirmity. I'm telling you, you'll sense God's power being led of the Spirit in a wonderful way. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.